Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on, daf Lamed Dalet and Beis. We have several sponsors for today's daf. It is, once again, sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lezecha Nishmas Chaim Naftali Ben Shlomo Yaakov Shlomo, and Lezchus Rafur Shlomo Chassar Freda Bas Chaya. It is sponsored, the daf is also sponsored by Josh and Nadja Graf, Lekava, the yard site of Shifra Braina Bas Rav Avraham Moshe, whose yard site is being observed today. It's also sponsored by Joseph Fried, Lezchus Rafur Shlomo, for Fega Miriam Bas Naomi, and is also sponsored anonymously, Lekavod HaTorah V'Lomdeha. So we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and all those neshamos that need an aliyah should have an aliyah, and all those people that need a refuah should have a refuah shalema. And today we're learning Daf Lamed Hey. We left off at Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. We're at Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shal Rabbi Shmuel. We're about to quote, we're at the two dots, about 10 lines before the end of the page. We're about to bring up the conversation that happened in the Mishnah related to Gvinas Akum. Why in fact Gvinas Akum is Asur. So first the Gemara is going to compare the Peresh, the excrement of a Shara Niskal, with the Peresh of Avodah Zarah, and it's going to prove that there's a chilik between them from the conversation that happens in our Mishnah. That's why that topic comes up. The Gemara is then going to discuss if an Isser Hana'ah is no longer Be'en, it's no longer intact and recognizable, what effect that has on the product of the Isser Hana'ah. And then we're going to talk about why and how Rabbi Yeshua changed the topic when he was asked about Gvinas Akum. He was challenged and he was just, he sealed the Davar Acher. He started bringing up another topic about a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. What is the meaning of that Pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Why did he dafka bring that up? Why did he not want to answer the question about Gvinas Akum? And then the Gemara is going to give several more reasons for the Isser of Gvinas Akum, many other reasons that are not mentioned in the Mishnah for the Isser of Gvinas Akum. And then we'll get to the Mishnah on the Lamed Hayam and Beis, where the Mishnah is going to list, we already had a Mishnah that lists those things that relate to Avdei Kechavim that are Asur even Bahana'ah. This Mishnah is going to list things that are Asur, but not Asur Bahana'ah. They're Asur Bahachila, not Asur Bahana'ah. A variety of Gzeros that the Chachamim made of Ma'achalei Avdei Kechavim. And in today's daf, we're going to discuss Chalav Akum and what the concern is when it comes to Chalav Akum, as well as Pas Akum, and what the limitations on the Isser of Pas Akum may be, and whether that Isser is still in full force of Pas Akum. So a lot to do. So let's begin at the bottom of Lamed Dalet and Beis at the two dots. Am Rabbi Doshal, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the Mishnah, asked Rabbi Yeshua when they were traveling, and he said, why is it that they asked Gvinas of the Kechavim? Rabbi Yeshua said, oh, it's because they make the cheese with the keva of Nevela, with the rennet of Nevela. So Rabbi Shmuel said, but Kevas Ola is worse than Kevas Nevela. And nevertheless, there's no Mi'ila on Kevas Ola. So Rabbi Shua said, well, why is it that Kevas, Rabbi Shua responded, because their mamid also be Kevas Egle Avodas Kechavim. Forget about Kevas Nevela, they use the rennet of Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shmuel said, oh yeah, if they're using the rennet of Avodah Zarah, then it should be Asur Ba'anah. Forget about Nisra Achila, Avodah Zarah is even Asur Ba'anah. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a comparison between two different things that seem to be asubana. If a man is mekadish in isha using the excrement of shara niskal, not particularly romantic, but it has some value, and all you need is something that's worth a shavar pruta. So a shara niskal is an isra'na. So he's mekadish with the perish of a shara niskal, mikudeshes. It works as a kiddushin, it has value. But beperish egli avodz chavim, if he uses the perish of an Egel of Avodah Zarah, which is Asur Ba'anah, Einu Mekudeshes. We assume it has no value, there is no Kiddushin. So why is that? Why the distinction between two different types of Yisurei Na'ah, whether the Peresh has value or not? So says Gemara, Iba Yisema Svara, Viba Yisema Kra. I could give you a Svara to explain the Chiluk, and I could show you a Pasuk that explains the Chiluk. Iba Yisema Svara, the Svara that explains the Chiluk is, Gabe Egle Avodah Chavim, Nichle Benivche. When it comes to an Egel of Avodah Zarah, the one who's going to bring that Egel for Avodah Zarah wants to fatten it up as much as possible, because that's a greater kavod for the avodah zarah. So the isser avodah zarah is chal on the peresh as well, because that fattens the animal. So that also becomes part of the isurei anah. When you have a shor niskal, there's no benefit to anybody if it's a fatter animal, and therefore, as the animal's fattened by its peresh, that's not part of the shor niskal, and therefore, there is no isra hana'a on that peresh. And if a man is mekadish nisha with it, she's mekadashas. So that would be the svara to be mechalek, or iba yisei makra. It could be that we could be mechalek anyway based on the pasuk. Ksiv hacha, it says when it comes to in the irani dachas that lo yidbak biyad chamu uma, that anything that's in the city that has any connection to avodah zarah, there's nisra hana'a on, and apparently that would include even the peresh of avodah kechavim, because it's an isra hana'a. Uksiv hasam, and it says by shor niskal, sakol yisakel ashar v'lo yeachel es bisaro. It says that where you're not allowed to eat the basar of the shor niskal. Yeah, bisaro asur hapir shel mutaras. Sounds like the isur is limited to the basar, but the perish of the shor niskal is going to be mutter. Now it happens to be in the sugim baba kamadaf memalef, we make a drasha from the word bisaro that the shor niskal is asur ba'achila even if you shecht it kedin. It's still, apparently the Tosfos points out we're able to darshan both drashas that it's asur even when you do a proper shechita, and that dafka the basar is asur, but the peresh is going to be mutter. So says Gemara, Amar Rava Travayu Tanini. The reason we're quoting this discussion over here is because Rava points out both of these dinim can be derived from the Mishnah, meaning both the din that the peresh of avodah zarah is asur bana, and the din that peresh of shor niskal is mutter bana, can be derived from the conversation that's had in our Mishnah. Miduka Amar Le Mipnei Shema Midin Bekevas Nevela, from the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Shmuel that the reason the Chachamim asked Gvinas Akum, in eating Gvinas Akum, is because they make the cheese with the Kevas Nevela, with rennet of Nevela, v'kamahadule, and Rabbi Shmuel responded, v'alo Kevas Ola Chamura mi Kevas Nevela, that Kevas Ola is Asar Ba'na, Kevas Nevela is only Asar Ba'achila, and nevertheless we still say that that a person is Gomea Kevas Ola. So Mechlal, di Surya Ana, Sharu Pirshay, what we see from here is that even something that's asur bana, the perish of that item is mutter. Umi tukamar lein, from the fact that Rabbi Shua said to Rabbi Shmuel that the reason l'chad masur gvina sakum is mesha ma'amid nosa bekevas egle avodus kochavim, that they use the rennet of avodah zarah v'kamahadrilei im kein lam lo asur bana, and his response was, oh yeah, if that's the reason, then it should be asur bana. Mechal davodus kochavim asur pirshayim. You see that when it comes to avodah zarah specifically, the perish of avodah zarah is asur bana. So you see that the perish of other Isurena is mutabana, it's not considered part of the animal. And you also see from the conversation, the Mishnah, that specifically when talking about Avodah Zarah, the parish of Avodah Zarah is going to be Asur Bahana. Good. Now the Gemara goes back to that conversation. So Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua, why didn't you ask Gvina Sakam Bana? And Rabbi Yeshua didn't answer him. The Mishnah said, Hisiul Adavar Acher. He changed the conversation on him. So it says Gemara, what do you mean? Why didn't he just answer him? There could have been a simple answer. Meaning when he asked, why isn't it Asr Bahana? If you have the parish of Avodah Zarah, if they're mamid the cheese with rennet of Avodah Zarah, why isn't it Asr Bahana? He could have said, because where's the Avodah Zarah? Where's the rennet? In the cheese, you don't see the rennet anymore. It's not be'en anymore. Because Morius, according to the Rabban, they did not asur bana. My taima, why didn't they asur Morius bahana? It's because the isur is not there anymore. It's not a clearly recognizable isur. It's not be'en. So Amri, so they said that that's not the reason they didn't asur the Gvina Bahana'a. There's a big difference between Morius and Gvina. By Morius, they didn't asur Bahana'a, you're right, because it's not Be'en. The Isser is not Be'en. But Hacha, when it comes to Gvina Sakum, kiven to Okme Kamokim, since the cheese is held together, meaning it's created, its whole form is supplied by the rennet, chashav lekaman di isay li isurei be'enei. That's considered as if the isur is be'en. Meaning, even though you don't see the rennet, but the fact that it's not milk anymore and that it's cheese, that's what causes it to curdle. That's what causes it to become cheese, to harden and to become cheese. And therefore, that's considered as if it in fact is be'en, and that's why he couldn't just respond, oh, the reason we don't ask ripana is because it's not be'en. It is be'en. As long as it's cheese, it's be'en. This is the notion of a davar ma'amid, that a davar ma'amid is always going to be significant, even if you would think that it should be, that it's not even there anymore. Normally, something is batel, berov, batel, b'shishim, a davar ma'amid, afilu be'elef lo batel. Even in 1,000, it's not going to be batel. There's a machlok rishon, the exact reason why a davar ma'amid is not batel, afilu be'elef. The Rashba in Chulin Daf Kuftes Zayin says that since the Isser is ma'amid gvina, so it is be'en, meaning the part that is ma'amid is still there, it's still be'en. The Mordechai in Maseches Chulin says that no, davar ma'amid is considered like a nesinas tam, just like something that's nosein tam asers the food, so to something that's ma'amid the machal asers the food, meaning that you see its effect, meaning that what's the idea of a nesinas tam? That the effect is recognizable. You put it in your mouth and you can taste the davar aser. So here you can't taste the davar aser, but you can see it. It's even more. It's the effect of the davar aser is still clearly recognizable in the food. So that's the notion of a davar ma'amid. This comes up in the kashrus industry when it comes to enzymes and other things that, you know, Rav Shach always gives the example that they used to be that you make chocolate milk and you'd have milk and you'd mix in some chocolate, and then after a while the chocolate would all settle and it would separate from the milk. And nowadays, magically, they sell chocolate milk and the chocolate never separates from the milk because they put in an enzyme that causes it to stay together. So that might have a din of a davar ma'amid. It's what keeps it the way it is. So you have to make sure that not just the chocolate is kosher, not just that the milk is kosher, but at the end, even though it's just a drop, it's a little nothing that gets added in that keeps it together. But that's the notion of a davar ma'amid. So now going back to that conversation that happened in our Mishnah, his seal of davar acher, we said that he changed the conversation on him. And how did he change the conversation? He said, oh, how do you read the pasuk? Kitovim dodecha miyayin or kitovim dodayich miyayin? And he told him it's kitovim dodayich. He says, no, it's not true, because the other half of the pasuk says l'reach shmanecha tovim. So it says, my kitovim dodecha miyayin. What does the pasuk mean? So, I mean, what's the pshat in the pasuk? He asked Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, Amra Knes Yisrael to Nekodesh Baruch Hu. This Knes Yisrael telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Arevim Alai Divrei Dodecha, Yoser Miyena Shel Torah. We prefer the Dvarim of the Chachamim, the Divrei Dodecha, the words of your beloved, more than the Yena Shel Torah itself. That's the how chaviv aleinu the divrei chachamim are. Now Rashi says yena shel Torah is ikar Torah shebichsav. He doesn't say ikar Torah shenitna l'moshe misina. He says ikar Torah shebichsav. So Shlomo Kluger is medayik from there that divrei sofrim must not mean only dinim drabanan. It means anything that's not part of Torah shebichsav, which would mean all mitzvos d'oraisa that are not explicit in the Torah, but rather are from Halacha l'moshe misina. That's also divrei dodecha. That's also considered divrei sofrim. And in fact, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Perush HaMishnayos says explicitly, whatever is not mefurish in the Torah is Halacha l'moshe misinai, we call it divrei sofrim. We refer to that as divrei sofrim because it relies on, in the transmission, it relies completely on the chacham to transmit from one generation to the other without any basis whatsoever in the chumash. So the Shlomo Kluger is bothered, why does Rashi say that? Meaning, why not say that divrei dodech is dinim d'rabbanan? What do you have to say? That it's dinim d'oraisa, that are Halacha l'moshe misinai. So he says it could be that it's all tali on the Lashon, meaning, do you read it Dodecha Lashon Zachar or Dodayich Lashon Nekeva? If it's Knes Yisrael saying Takarosh Baruch Hu, Tovim Dodecha, it would be Lashon Zachar. So then it's got to be Torah Shebal Peh, because it's got to be Hashem's words. You can't say that on a Gezeros or Mitzvah Strabanan, which are our words. But if it's Dodayich, that would be Knes Yisrael. So now you understand why Rashi says this, because Rabbi Yeshua proved from the Pesukim that you have to read it Tovim Dodecha Lashon Zachar. Oh, so it must be be something that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's why Rashi has to say that it's talking about those things that are dinim d'oraisa, but are transmitted through divrei dodecha, that are transmitted through the divrei chachamim. So anyway, so Maishna Haikra Deshaili says, very beautiful Joshua. What in the world does it have to do with anything we're talking about over here? What is special about this pasuk that Rabbi Shua asked Rabbi Shmuel about this pasuk? So I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, v'item Rabbi Shimon Barami, me reishi dekra ka'amarle. It was the beginning of the pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua was trying to be merames to Rabbi Shmuel in his response. That the beginning of the pasuk is kitovim dodechem yain, says yashkeni minashikos pihu. So amarle, so Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmuel achi, chashok sifsosecha zubazu, val tabal lahashiv. He's telling him, press your lips together and don't ask too many questions about Gvinas Akum. Meaning this is not a conversation we're supposed to be having. Gvinas Akum is something that there is a reason for it. We're not supposed to talk about the reason. So my taima, why didn't he just respond what the real reason is? Why does he have to tell him? Don't talk about the reason. Amru l'vitem rashmol bar abba, gzera chadoshihi ve'in mefak bekinba. A very interesting idea. It was a brand new gzera, and when it comes to a brand new gzera, we don't want people to start examining the reasons, because once people start examining the reasons, the Gemara is going to make very clear in a moment, once people start examining the reasons, they'll say, that reason doesn't resonate with me, I don't think that's really a good enough reason, and then they're never going to accept the Gzera, and if the Gzera is not accepted by the Rav Tzibur, it's never going to be binding. So in order for any Gzera to gain a foothold, to be strong and to be binding, people can't know the reasons, because then they're always going to question. Jews tend to be a questioning people, but if the Chacham saw fit that this has to be Gzera, and they sometimes think people have a false confidence in themselves, that concern is not going to happen to me, that's not something that's going to bother me, so we can't reveal the Gzera until after it's too late, until after it's been accepted by Rov the Tzibur, then we reveal the Tam, and then we can start discussing. My Gzera, so what is the reason for the Gzera? I'm Rav Shimon Pazi, I'm Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Nikur. It's really a concern of Giloy, that when you can have a Nachash that gets into it, and that will put its venom in the cheese, and that's the real reason for the Gzera. Tosus already is bothered by the Kasha, that there's a sheet in Chulin Daf Mem Tes that even by Mayim and Dvash there's a chash of Giloy, and yet we never made a Gezera that you're not allowed to get water from an Ovid Chavim, that you're not allowed to get honey from an Ovid Chavim. So if the concern is Giloy over here, if you hold Giloy applies to so many other things, why did we make Dafka Gezera not to have cheese from an Ovid Chavim? What about Mayim? What about Dvash? So Tos says by other Mashkin, even though the Ovid Chavim are not makbid about Giloy per se, they're not worried about the nechashim getting into it, but they are worried about cleanliness, and they'll cover it up as a result of cleanliness. When it comes to milk, since milk spoils quickly, they're going to want to use their milk quickly, so it's not such a big deal for them to leave it exposed, since it's only going to be for a short amount of time anyway, and therefore the concern of giloy is going to come up again. So says Mar Velemalei, that seems Velemalei Mishum Nikur. Why didn't you just tell him? I mean, that seems like a reason. That's a pretty good reason. Why couldn't you just tell him that that's the reason for the iser? So says Mar Kedu'ula Damrula. When they used to make gzeros in Eretz Yisrael, they would not say the reason for the gzera. Ad treser yarchishata, until a year later, until after the gzera has been intact for a year, only then would they say the reason. Why? Because maybe there's going to be someone that doesn't agree with the reason for the gzera. Vasil zilzulibe, and he'll come to be mezalzel in the gzera. But when the chacham keep it close to the vest, when they don't let everyone know, so everyone's going to be makabel the gzera, because they're going to assume that the chacham have a really good reason for it, something that they would agree is a good reason. And then by the time the gzera is widely observed, then you can't pull it back anymore once it's already makubal by the Rov HaTzibur. In fact, Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzer quotes in one place when he talks about asmachta, where the idea of asmachta comes from, that you have a pasuk that somehow supports a din derabanan. So what's the role of the pasuk if it's a din derabanan? He quotes one shita in Rishonim, I think he quotes from Maril, that the asmachta is a very similar notion, that sometimes when the Chum made a gzera, they went further than just not revealing the time. They dafka diverted our attention to a pasuk and claimed it was a din d'oraisa. They'd make a din d'rabbanan and say, here, look at this pasuk. You see, this pasuk sounds like it's saying this din. And they would claim that it's a din d'oraisa so that everyone would accept it. And only later would they reveal, no, it was just an asmachta. That's the notion of asmachta. is a way of getting the gzera to be accepted. Rav Yosef Engel himself says that is ridiculous. There is no way that could be what asmachta means, that the chum were just lying. It's one thing not to reveal the time for gzera, but to lie and to say that a din d'rabbanan is a din d'oraisa, that's scandalous. You can't do that. You can't edit the Torah like that and claim that there are things in the Torah that are not in the Torah. That's a ziyuf haTorah. That's it's impossible to imagine. I just heard recently someone said that in certain Hasidic sects, in their chumashim for the children, they take away certain psukim that might be difficult for the children to understand. Yehuda and Tamar, the chumashim mamish are missing. That's scandalous. I don't know why it's not a bigger scandal that you can't start editing the chumash, editing the Torah. It's unbelievable. So that Rav Yosef Engel can't believe it. He can't believe it. But to keep the reason for the gzera, as long as everyone knows that it's a gzera, the chur is a violation of Bal Tosef to claim an issur d'rabbanan is an issur d'oraisa. That's what the Gemara says. That was the sin of Adam and Chava, that Chava told the Nachash, oh, my husband told me we're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. Rosh Hashanah never said you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. It was a gzera that Adam HaRishon made, that you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. But he told Chava, that's the din d'oraisa, that you're not allowed to do that. When you claim that something is that gzera d'rabbanan is a din d'oraisa, it's a violation of Bal Tosef. So Megadif by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't like this idea at all. Elamayata, he said, Yevesha Tishtari. If the real reason for the Yisur Kvina Sakum is that a Nachash is going to get to it, so then dry trees should be mutter, because the Nachash, there's nowhere for Nachash's venom to, you know, just mix in. Or Yashan Tishtari, or old trees should be mutter. Dam Rabbi Chanini, Yavish mutter, Eima Nichol Yavish. If it dries, then you know there's no venom in it, because the venom wouldn't allow it to dry. Yashin mutter, older cheeses mutter, because eman ichli yashin, it wouldn't age properly if the venom was in it. So that can't be the reason. So the Gemara instead is going to give several other reasons. But you see that the reason for the Yisur of Venus Akum was shrouded in mystery. They're looking all over the place to find reasons. Amar Rabbi Chanina, lefishi iyef shala below tzichtzuche chalav. This is an extension of the Yisur of Chalav Akum, that you're not going to have cheese of an Ovid Chavim that doesn't have at least some milk of a of an Ovid Chavim in there as well, and that there's concern that maybe that's milk of a behemah tamea, that's not kosher milk. Shmuel Amar, Meshem Amid Nosa, Bo'or Kevas Nevela, that we are concerned that they're going to make the cheese not with the rennet of a nevela, which is like the milk that's in the stomach, but with the stomach lining itself, with the or of the Kevas Nevela. So says the Gemara, Hakeva Gufa Sharia. That implies that if they didn't use the or of the nevela, they just used the keva, they just used the rennet from the stomach of the animal to make the cheese, that would be mutter, even though it's coming from a nevela. Umiyam Shmuel Hachi. Does Shmuel really hold that way? Vatana, and we have a Mishnah Maseches Chulin. Kevas Ha'ovid Chavim Vishel Nevela Harezu Asura. That the keva of a nevela is asur, not just the or kevas nevela. The keva itself is asur. Va'avinan. And the Gemara over there asks, Atu David Chavim Lav Neveli? Why do you list these as two separate things? Kevas Ovid Chavim Vishel Nevela. Isn't the keva of an Ovid Chavim Nevela itself? So why? Meaning, obviously, he's not doing a kashra shchita on the animal. So Shmuel answers that chadakatani, that really it's one statement, that kevas shchita sovik chavim nevela. The keva that comes from an animal shechted by a guy is automatically nevela and asura. Therefore, it's asur ba'achila. But what you see from the Mishnah is, in order for the cheese to be asur, it doesn't have to be the or kevas nevela. It could be the kevas nevela. You don't need the actual stomach lining of the nevela, which obviously is part of a nevela, but even the kevas nevela would be enough to make it asr. So why does Shmuel say over here that the reason that gvina sakum is asr is because they're mamed with or kevas nevela? You don't even need to go that far. The kevas nevela itself is a problem. Says Mar lo kasha, kan kodem chazara, kan liachr chazara. The Mishnah Maseches Chulin that says that which is in Kevas Nevela Zasabachila is before Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind from his first statement in our Mishnah to Rabbi Shmuel, that the reason for the Yisur of Gvina Sakum is because of Kevas Nevela. So Rabbi Yeshua thought that the milk that's there in the Keva of the Behema is not doesn't have a din of Peresh, meaning like the Galalim of the animal. It's not from the Guf of the animal. He thought it is like the goof of the animal, and therefore it's asr b'achila. But Shmuel in our sugya that says that the reason for the isr of gvina sakum is because their mamid ba'or kevas nevela is after Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind, and he said that the reason for gvina sakum is not because of the kevas nevela, but it's because kevas egle avodah zarah. So that's why Rabbi Shmuel had to challenge him. Yeah, if it's from avodah zarah, then it should be asr b'anah. Rabbi Yeshua didn't respond to that. So that's what Shmuel's explaining, that the reason that for the isr is because of their mamid the gvina with or kevas nevela, and that's what makes the gvina asr b'achila, and that's why it's mutar b'anah, because it's not avodah zarah, it's nevela. So even though Rabbi Shua changed his mind, the Mishnah, as it's recorded in Maseches Chulin, remains with its original text, even though that text is no longer 100% accurate. That text is now adjusted, should be adjusted a little bit. Now the Gemara discusses other reasons why Gvina Sakum might be Asir. Ramalki Mishmeid Ravad Barava Omar, Nesha Machlikin Paneh B'Shuman Chazir. They shine the surface of the cheese with Chazir Shmaltz, with pig fat, to make it look nice. They use chometz, which is a vinegar to be mamid the chalav to make it into cheese, and chometz is also because it could be made from yayin nesach. They use sap from an orla tree, and an orla tree, the first 3 years, the peros are asr b'anah, and we're afraid that the sap from the orla tree is charif enough that it has that effect to affect cheese making. So we're afraid that's how this cheese was made. Says Mar, the sraf of an orla tree is part of the isr orla. What's asr by orla? The isr of orla is the peros of orla. So why is the sraf asr? Kaman. So when we're assuming that sraf orla is an issue, it must be ki hai tana, that we're assuming like the following tana. The tanan, it says in the Mishnah in the first parak of orla, Rabbi Lozer Omer hamamid b'srafa orla asr mneishu peri, that if someone is mamid cheese using sraf orla, it's asr because the sraf has a din of a fruit itself, and therefore just like peros of Arla is Asr, so to Sraf of Arla is Asr. Says Gemara, nah, filu tema Rabbi Yeshua. You could even be going like Rabbi Yeshua, who disagrees with Rabbi Lazar and does not think that all Sraf of Arla has a din of Peros. Adkan lo palag Rabbi Yeshua leid Rabbi Lazar ela be katfa de gavza. You know what they argue about? They argue about the sap that comes out of the bark of the tree, that comes out of the trunk of the tree. Aval be katfa de pira, but the sraf that comes out of the peros itself, modi, everyone would agree, that has a din of peros. So yeah, that's what we're concerned about. They're going to use the sraf that comes from the peros itself, which certainly has a din of peros. Vahainu ditnan, and that's what the Mishnah says in Arla. Amr Rabbi Yeshua shamati, that's what the Mishnah, yeah, that Amr Rabbi Yeshua shamati beferish. Shamamid b'sraf ha'olin b'sraf ha'yikarin mutar b'sraf ha'pagin asr b'neishu peri, that you see that distinction explicit in the Mishnah. Depending which sraf we're talking about, it could be a problem or not be a problem. But if you're getting gvina from an ovid chav, you don't know what sraf he used. He could have used the bad kind of sraf ha'arla. So it says Mar Bein l'Rav Chisda, whether you assume that the isra is because they use vinegar which comes from stam yenam, Bein l'Rav Nachum Yitzchak, or whether you assume the issue is that they're using sraf arla, both Yayin Esach and Orla are not only Asr B'Achila, they're also even Bahana. So Titzer Bahana. So the Gvina Sakum shouldn't just be Asr B'Achila, it should be Asr Bahana as well. So it says Mar Kasha, yeah, that's taka difficult. It's difficult to defend those explanations of the Yisra of Gvina Sakum. Rabbi Matam is quoted in Tosa Namad Aleph that La Halacha, the reason for the Yisra of Gvina Sakum is because of Nikor, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, that they leave in some of the snake, will leave some of its venom, because we pass Rabbi Shimon Levi against Rabbi Yochanan and certainly against Shmuel. So since nowadays, he says, we're not choshish for Givloi because there are no nechashim mitzuyim beinenu, that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes as well, so we're allowed to eat Gvinos of the Chavim. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. The real reason is only because of the snake venom. Snakes aren't around anymore. All these other reasons aren't the real reason. We're rejecting them one by one. So it must be that Gvinas of the Chavim is mutter. So and also when they're mamed the Gvina using plants, using different types of plants, that certainly would also be mutter, because there's no reason to assume that there's any problem with the prachim that they use to be mamid. The Rambam writes that the real isser is because they're mamid bekevas nevela, and he quotes the sheet of the Gaonim that there goes around all gvinas akum no matter what they're mamid it with, because this was a gzera that they made because they're mamid bekevas nevela. So the Tor paskins that you're not allowed to eat gvinas akum against Rabbeinu Tam, and he quotes the reasons of the Gemara, he just leaves out these two. He leaves out, the Torah just leaves out the Chometz one and the Arla one and the Nikur one. He leaves out the Chometz reason and the Arla reason because the Gemara explicitly rejects it, leaves it as a Kasha. And he leaves out the Nikur one about the snake because, like we said, that's not Nogeya Bizman Azeh. But the other reasons still apply, that they're Mamid Bar Kevas Nevela. That's still a legitimate reason. That's why we're paskin that Kavina Sakum is in fact Aser. Darsh of Nachum Rejav Chista, Maidich Siv. What does the pasuk teach us in Shir Hashirim when it says L'reach Shmanecha Tovin L'mat Tamil Chacham Doma L'tzlokh Shepal Yatin? A Tamil Chacham is like a kli that holds very sweet smelling oil. Megula, if you leave it exposed, Recha Nodef, then the sweet smell goes all over the place. Everyone could benefit from it. Mechusa Ein Recha Nodef, but if it's covered up, then the smell is not enjoyed by other people. So similarly, what we're suggesting is that a Talmud Chacham, if he tries to keep his learning all to himself and he doesn't share it with other people, so that's not beneficial. You want the Talmud Chacham to be Marbitz Torah, to share his Torah with other people. The Marsha is a little bit bothered. Why the Talmud Chacham is like the Tzlochis? The Talmud Chacham should be more like the Shemen Atov that's in the Tzlochis, right? Why is he like the plate? He should be the sweet-smelling oil that's actually giving the good tam. Why do we compare him dafka to the plate itself? So he says the guf of the Talmud Chacham is like the Tzlochis. The seichel of the Talmud Chacham, the neshama, is like the Shemen Atov that's inside of it. So he says you shouldn't think that you should keep the Torah just for yourself and not teach it to other people. So you'll be a Talmud Chacham and no one else will be a Talmud Chacham. Because Adrav, take a mashal from the Tzlochus Shel Payatin, that when you empty the oil out into another kli, the smell is more powerful and it's all a credit to you. But if you don't empty it out into another kli, the reach is not nodef. The reach doesn't spread. So the Talmud Chacham vizmalami tar la'acherin. So he's going to be mosif b'chachma. He'll have a stronger reach once you empty the oil out. The tzlochus has a stronger tam. V'lo od el dvarim shemachusin menu miskalim lo. Not only that, a Talmud Chacham that teaches Torah to other people, things that previously he didn't understand, he will now begin to understand. It's a brach that Rosh Baruch Hu gives him. Shnemar alomos ayevucha. So karibay alumos, those hidden items. Lo od el shemalach hamavas ohavo. That the malach hamavas will become your friend. He's going to like you, and therefore he's not going to kill you. Shnemar alomos ayevucha. Karibay almaves. That the one who's in charge almaves will become your beloved. Velo od el shenochel shnei alomos. And not only that, he's going to benefit. He'll have two worlds. Echad olam hazeh vechad olam hava. Shnemar alomos karibay olamos. So that it's not Alemos, it's Olamos. So three different drashos from Alemos. That Elum, that which was hidden, Al Maves, that you become a friend with the Malach Maves, and Alamos, so you get Olamos, you get two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now we get to the Mishnah that relates to most of the Halacha Lamaisa of this Masechta, which is the issue of Machalei Akum. Ve'elu dvarim shelo d'chav masurin ve'nisurin nisrana. So Mishnah tells us the following are a list of items that are asur. They're from of the chavim and they're asur, but the isur is not an nisrana. So you're allowed to sell them, you're allowed to get hanah from them. Shelo b'derech achila, it would be totally fine. And they are, number one, chalav shechalavu v'chav ve'nisrol re'ehu. Chalav Akum, if a Jew does not see the milking process. Vapas vashemen shalahen, bread or oil of an oved chavim. Rebbe u'bezdino hitiru shemen. Rebbe and Bezdina and his Bezdin were matir the shemen. Now that sounds like, since it's in a Mishnah, it sounds like it must be Rabbi Yudah Anasi that was matir the shemen. But we're going to see later, it's clearly not Rabbi Yudah Anasi from the Tekufa Satanayim. This is Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, the grandson who's from the Tekufa of the Amoraim. And that's why we don't say Rebbe, that's why we're not Goris in the Mishnah, Rebbe Hitir Hashemen, that comes from the Amoraim. Rebbe Bezdina Hitir Hashemen, this was a later add-on to the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to prove that it's Rabbi Yudah Nasiya that was Matir the Shemen, because the Gemara says that Rabbi Yudah said to Rabbi Simlai, you weren't with us yesterday in the Beis Medrash when we were Matir the Shemen. And the timing works out with Rabbi Simlai that it had to be the grandson. And it also says Rabbi Yudah Nasiya was the son of Rabbi Gamliel, was Horav Elo Hodulo. So you see clearly that it was Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, not Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Anyway, Vashlakos, another thing that they asked Basr relating to Avdei Chavim is Bishalakum, anything that Avdei Chavim cooked. Ukvashin, and also fish or vegetables or that they soak, that they brine, that they pickle. Shadarkan lasis tochen yayin v'chometz, because they put wine and vinegar in the brine and in the pickling. V'taris trufa, a certain type of very small fish that are kosher fish, but they crush them up in a plate. So since you can't see exactly what kind of fish there are, and you can't see the fins and the scales, we're choshish that maybe they mixed in some non-kosher fish with it as well. Vitzir, and the brine of kosher fish, she'in ba daga kal b'shotetesbo. There's a certain type of brine that a small fish that's not a kosher fish grows in it, but it only grows in kosher brine. So if you don't see that small non-kosher fish, then you know that brine is very likely not kosher. Vachilak, and also another type of small kosher fish that when it's small, it doesn't yet have fins and scales. It's only going to grow the fins and scales later on. And the Chav Maser it because they can mix in non-kosher fish and you would never know because the kosher fish doesn't have fins and scales either. The Korich Shel Chalatis, and also the stalk of Chalatis, the Chav Maser, because the Gayim cut it with knives that they use for other things as well, and the knives are not kosher. The Umelach Salkondis, and the salt that they eat, that the bakers in Rome eat. Hare Elu Asurin Ve Nisurin Israna. All of these things are Asur, but they are not Asur Bana. So let's attack one by one. First one, says Gemara. Chalav Lamai Nechushlo. What's the concern with Chalav Akum? Imi Shemachlufei, if you're worried that the guy is going to switch it out for Chalav Behema Tamea, no reason to worry about something like that. Tahar Chiver, if you have kosher milk, the milk is white. Tame Yarok, you have milk from a non-kosher animal, it's not pure white like kosher milk. So you'll be able to eyeball it, and in 1 second you'll be able to tell the difference. Vimi Shemar Ruvei, and if you're worried that you're going to mix some Chalav Tame with the Chalav Tar in a way that you won't be able to see the color difference, so Nekum, there's a simple way to test it. Try to make cheese with it. Damar Mar, Chalav Tar, Omed, Chalav Tame, and Omed. Only cow milk can make cheese, only kosher milk can make cheese. Non-kosher milk can't make cheese, so just check it that way. So it says Marita Kabay Lagvina Achinami. Yeah, if you're buying milk for cheese making, then it's no problem. You're right. You can buy whatever milk you want and see if it makes the cheese. But over here we're talking about that you're using it for non-cheese making. You're using it to cook other things. So it says, why don't you just take a little bit of it, try to make cheese with a little bit of it, and if that works, then you know that what you have is kosher milk and you could use it for your coffee or for whatever else. It says, since by kosher milk also, there is a little bit that doesn't curdle and turn into cheese. We're never going to know if there's a little bit of Chalav Tame in there, because that little bit that didn't curdle, that didn't turn into cheese, may be that Chalav Tame. So we're never going to be able to tell. Even if you do need it for cheese making, you're still not going to be able to tell, because ikatakai ben yatfi, there's a little bit of mei chalav that remains even in cheese. The cheese is not perfectly rock solid. There's a little bit of moisture in it. So we always have to be concerned that part of that little bit of moisture that you see in the cheese is from the chalav tame, is not from the chalav tar. So obviously chalav akum is a major topic. I was just talking to someone on Shabbos about Mashkiach and Landers, Rabbi Bamberger wrote a sefer for art school recently where he put together the 200 most important Jewish books ever written, and he wrote like two or three pages on each book, a little bit about the author, about the impact of the book, and he tried to come up with like one piece of Torah from each sefer. So I said to someone, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, it's not an easy thing. Rashi on Chumash, what's the one Rashi? Igros Moshe, what's the one Igros Moshe? So someone said, Igros Moshe, Chalav Yisrael. That's the Igros Moshe, the one Igros Moshe that you know. It's not so obvious. There are a lot of very impactful, but there are very few that were as impactful as Rabbi Moshe's tshuva about Chalav Yisrael. Meaning here you have a beferish in the Gemara that Chalav Akum is a gzer midrabban, that it's absolutely usher. So the Prichadash really predates of Moshe, and Pri Chadash says something very similar, and Moshe just took it to a new level. Pri Chadash says that whenever there's not a reasonable chashash that he's going to mix in chalav tameh, then you're allowed to get chalav from a guy. It's only when there's a reasonable chashash that chalav tameh is going to be mixed in. So Chassam Sofer says he disagrees. Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva Yerodeh Sim Kuf Zayin, not true. He says originally the reason was that they made the gezer of chalav akum was because they might mix in chalav tameh, but once they made the Gezerah, says the Chassam Sofer, the Gezerah became broadened, and it includes any chalav of a guy, whether there is a legitimate concern or not. Meaning it became a davar shem minyan that they were gozer on it, and therefore it's an automatic, absolute issur. There's no room for negotiation. So the Chazon Ish in Yerideya, Simon Mem Aleph, disagrees with the Chazon Ish. He says, when they say Gezerah's chalav is a Gezerah kadmonis, it's Neser b'minyan, he says, that means because they might mix in a davar tame. So what did Rav Moshe do? Rav Moshe in Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Simon Mem Vav, explains that when there's government oversight, and a company that claims to be selling milk is mixing in non-kosher milk with the kosher milk, they would get in significant trouble if they were discovered to be doing such a thing. So that's considered to be Chalav Yisrael. Meaning there's no one that holds that Chalav Akum is Mutter, Chalav Akum is Aser. Rav Moshe holds that Chalav HaKompanies is Chalav Yisrael. He calls it Chalav HaKompanies. It's Chalav Yisrael. Why is it Chalav Yisrael? Because he says it's not necessary, based on the Pri Chadash, that a Yisrael see the milking. What's necessary is that a Yisrael knows that it's kosher milk. Meaning, this is what Rav Moshe refers to. It's Eidus Yediya without Eidus Re'iya. You need Eidus of Yisrael that it's kosher milk. There are two ways you can give Eidus. You could see something and therefore testify about it, or you could know something. And having the knowledge is good enough, even without Eidus Re'iya, even without actually having seen it. So that is the Shita Rav Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe does throw in a line over there where he says, but a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, that it's appropriate that a Baal Nefesh should try to be Machmir to have Chalav Yisrael. So, of course, once Rav Moshe writes that, so more contemporary poskim say Rav Moshe Mestama only meant it for young children. He only meant it when it's impossible to find Chalav Yisrael. The impression you get when you talk to Rav Moshe's children and family and Talmidim, that he didn't only mean it for young children. He meant it. He meant that La Halacha, that it's all Chalav Yisrael, that Chalav HaKompanies has a din of Chalav Yisrael. But of course, that's only in those countries where there is Pikuach HaMemshala, where there is someone governing to make sure that they're only using cow milk. There are countries where no one cares. And if you have such a country, then we go back to the original Gezerah, because everyone agrees that there is such a din called Chalav Akum. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Pasa Akum.